Hare Krishna. So we have seen the entire second chapter, shloka by shloka, all 72 verses. Today, let's try to see all the 72 shlokas at one go. Let's summarize the entire second chapter. Let's start with shloka 1. So what did we see now in this section? In fact, the first chapter ended with Arjuna keeping his Gandiva bow on side and he was completely depressed and he said, "Oh, Govinda, I'll not fight." And looking at his situation, Krishna starts speaking in the second chapter. So Krishna observed Arjuna's situation. The first shloka of second chapter talks about that. Tamtatha kripaya vishtam ashrupurna kulekshanam. What was the situation of Arjuna? Ashrupurna. His eyes were completely filled with tears. And looking at Arjuna's situation, Krishna started speaking. And how was the speech of Krishna? Was he very sweet? Krishna started chastising Arjuna left and right. He started saying, Kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupastitam. Where have these impurities come from? That too at this critical situation. And then he makes a very strong point. He says, Klaibhyam masmagama partha. Where has this importance come onto you? Can you imagine Krishna calling Arjuna important? That's what he does here. And then Arjuna starts speaking. He starts countering Krishna's statements from shloka number 4. So Arjuna is saying, "Oh Krishna, how can I kill Bhishma and Drona? How can I shoot arrows at them? In fact, I should offer flowers at their feet. And, you know, if I kill them, you know, it will be very, very difficult for me. Now, it will be a very difficult situation for me. In fact, oh Krishna, I feel that better I give up this battle, this fight, and go and live begging." So this is how Arjuna speaks. And in the sixth verse, a very important verse where Arjuna is expressing his confusion, his indecisiveness, his indecision, where he's saying that, "Oh Krishna, I don't know what is better, conquering them or being conquered by them." So this was the fifth reason of Arjuna for not fighting. Then in the seventh shloka, after having so much confusion in the head, that will I be victorious or not? What is better, conquering them or being conquered by them? What will happen? How can I kill my own kinsmen? After all this confusion, Arjuna then understood, "I cannot do it by myself. Let me surrender to Krishna. Shishyastaiham shadhimam tvam prapannam. I surrender unto you, O Krishna." This shloka was a transition. Two friends talking to a disciple or a person surrendering to another person, accepting that person as guru. So from friendship, it has changed to a relationship of guru and disciple in shloka number 7. And then Arjuna is saying that, "I am not finding any way to drive away this grief, O Krishna." And finally, ninth shloka, again Arjuna declares, "O Govinda, I shall not fight. Na yotsya iti Govinda. I shall not fight." And from 10th shloka onwards, the 10th shloka Sanjay is describing that, looking at Arjuna's situation and hearing his words, now Krishna starts speaking. And 11th shloka onwards, Krishna will start speaking. Now, there's a new section that is starting now. So the first section, that is from 1 to 10, where Arjuna expressed all his feelings and his indecisiveness, and he surrendered to Krishna. Now Krishna is going to start speaking. So from shloka number 11 to 30, this is a section where Krishna is countering the first argument of Arjuna for not fighting. So in the first chapter we saw, Arjuna said that, "How can I kill my own kinsmen? I cannot kill them." Arjuna was completely overwhelmed by compassion. And to counter this, to remove this problem, to remove this doubt from Arjuna's mind, Krishna starts speaking jnana. He starts giving him technical knowledge, sankhya. That is the knowledge of body and soul. After hearing Arjuna for these 9 to 10 verses, then Krishna starts speaking, where Krishna is saying now that, "Nanu sochanti pandita," this situation which you are in, you're lamenting for something which is not worthy of lamentation. No, you are not at all a pandita. You are actually a fool. And that's how Krishna is starting this. Then Krishna starts describing the body and soul concept. The first thing that Krishna is talking about is that all of us are individuals eternally. Everyone, O Arjuna, you, me and all the Janadipaha, that is all the kings, all of us are eternally individuals. But then Arjuna now might have a question. Okay, we might be eternal individuals, but change of body, you know, will cause lamentation. Krishna is like, change of body which is there is natural. And Krishna quotes, or he says the 13th shloka, Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara. Where he's saying it's very natural. We keep changing our bodies from childhood to youth to old age. Similarly, at the time of death, we'll change the body. We'll go to another body. But then Arjuna again, you know, he has an argument that, but we do lament when we go from youth to old age. Similarly, we might lament when we go from one body to another. And here, Krishna is saying that, don't worry about this. I'm understanding, Arjuna, what you're talking about, but let me tell you something. Bhishma and Drona are going to get new bodies, fresh, youthful bodies. So there is no question of lamentation. And then Arjuna might have another question that, but attachment to current body of relatives will still be a cause of lamentation. Here Krishna says, O Arjuna, shloka number 14, you have no option. Tantitikshasva, just tolerate. How much Krishna will also hear? Somewhere he has to put an alt. Tolerate, just tolerate. Now you cannot do anything. So like this Krishna speaks, and then from in 16th verse, now Krishna is talking about who is actually Pandita. Now this verse is a tight slap on Arjuna's face, because Arjuna was acting like a Pandita, and here Krishna is saying, who is actually a Pandita? The seer of truth. And after this shloka, from shloka number 17 to 25, Krishna starts describing the qualities of the soul. So he's talking about how the soul is imperishable. And then in the next shloka, he's talking about antavanta ime deha nitya shoktaha sharirinaha. The soul is indestructible, immeasurable, eternal. Ajo nitya shashvato yam purano. The soul is unborn, is nitya, eternal, shashvato, permanent. Purano is the primeval, or he's the oldest. And like this, you know, Krishna continues, you know, speaking various verses. And then, you know, Arjuna is having various questions. Then the next thing that he is talking about is, Bhishma and Drona will lose their current bodies. And these current bodies are a source of happiness. So Krishna is saying, what are you talking about, current bodies? The soul changes the bodies like a person changes the dress. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grannati naroparani. Tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. So like the person changes the dress, giving up the old ones, accepting the new ones. Similarly, the soul will accept new bodies. And Bhishma and Drona, they're going to get new bodies. Where is the question of lamentation here? Where is the question of pain? And then Krishna is telling Arjuna, you're speaking so much about killing. Let me tell you something. None of your weapons can kill the person on the other side, because their spirit soul, not the body. Nainam chindanti shastrani nainam dhati pavakaha nachainam kledayantyapaho na shoshayati maruta. All your weapons are useless, because none of them can affect the soul. No weapon can cut the soul, nor can it be burnt, nor can it be moistened, nor can it be withered by the wind. Like this, you know, Krishna speaks very nicely this concept of body and soul. And then, you know, he starts giving Bauddha philosophy in shloka number 26. That is atheistic philosophy. Where he's saying, okay, chalo, if you say that soul doesn't exist, chalo, theek hai. If body is all in all, still there is no cause of lamentation, because no one laments for the loss of chemicals, because body is just made up of chemicals. And chalo, if that is also not there, if you're not accepting this philosophy, then you're talking about Karmavad. So let's accept Karmavad. So according to Karmavad, Depending on our previous life, whatever lives we had previously, depending on that, we have got this body, we have got a birth. And when the reactions of it is finished, anyways, you know, the person will die. So, oh Arjuna, in no ways you can save the Kauravas. Forget it. And then, you know, Krishna, he concludes this particular shloka in 28, 29 and 30, you know, where he's talking about the dweller in the body can never be annihilated. So there is no reason, there is no cause for grieving for any living being because they are eternal. And in fact, the previous shloka, shloka number 29 says that Ascharyavat, the soul is amazing. So this is the section from 11 to 30 where Krishna very beautifully describes the body and soul. And then the next section, from shloka number 31 to 38, Krishna is talking about Karma Kanda. See, Arjuna had two more arguments. Second one was, if all of them are killed, how will I be able to enjoy the kingdom? And the third reason was, if we kill them, we'll incur sins. So both of that is countered here, where Krishna is saying, you're talking about enjoyment? Or you just fight? If you fight and win the kingdom, you will get royal pleasures. You will be happy. And even if you lose, because Arjuna had that doubt, will I be victorious or will I get defeated? So Krishna is saying, even if you lose, no problem. The doors of heavenly planet will be open for you. You will enjoy much better than this earthly planet. Oh, Arjuna, just fight. But if you don't fight, remember what is going to happen. Then in shloka number 34, you know, he's talking about people will start speaking. Always speak of your infamy. And maranad atirichyate. For an honorable person like you, dishonor is most, in fact, is worse than death. And then people will keep speaking unkind words about you. And then he says, nindantastava samarthyam. People will scorn your abilities. Oh Arjuna, you will be in a very, very bad shape hearing all this. Fight, oh Arjuna, fight. And in shloka number 38, Krishna is saying that fight for the sake of fighting. Sukha dukhe same kritva labha labha jaya jayo. Forget about happiness or distress, victory or defeat, loss or gain. Just fight for the sake of fighting as a matter of duty. So this is the section, Karma Kanda section from 31 to 38. From 39 to, you know, future shlokas, from 39 to 39 to 53. Krishna is talking about the Buddhi Yoga section which we saw. Where Krishna is talking about work without getting attached to the results. That's how he starts. And the first two shlokas, 40 and 41, they are actually focusing on Bhakti Yoga. So Bhakti Yoga and Nishkama Karma Yoga, hope we understand the difference. Bhakti Yoga is like working for the pleasure of the Lord. And Nishkama Karma Yoga is like, you have already working. The only thing that we are doing is we are dedicating that work. That's it. So here there is no question of giving pleasure to the Lord or something like that. So shloka number 40 and 41, they are giving characteristics of actually Bhakti Yoga. So where it is said, Neha bikravanashosti pratyavayona vidyate swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayato mahato bhayat. So this particular shloka says, even if there is a little endeavor on this path of Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, what happens? It will never be lost or diminished, and the person will be saved from greatest danger. And such person will have one pointed focus, one aim. So after speaking all this, Krishna starts instructing Arjuna that don't get attracted by the flowery language of the Vedas. In fact, Traigunya Vishaya Vedanis Traigunya Bhava Arjuna. So where Krishna is saying that just come above all these descriptions given in the Vedas, which are under the three modes of material nature. So like this, Krishna is describing about various aspects. He gives various analogies. And finally comes to the famous shloka, shloka number 47. Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Where Krishna is saying that you are entitled or you have the right to work, but you are not entitled to the fruits of your work. And never think that you are the cause of the results. If you think so, what will happen? You have to suffer or enjoy the repercussions. you have to face. You have to face it. Yes. So Krishna is very clear that be detached from the results of your work and work as a matter of duty. You like it or you don't like it is not a point. That doesn't matter. And then now Krishna starts describing the benefits of Buddhi Yoga. He starts giving different carrots to Arjuna. In shloka number 50, now he's saying that Ube Shukruta Dushrute, hope you remember this. You'll get rid, if you start practicing Bhakti Yoga, you'll get rid of both good and bad reactions. Then in the next shloka he says, you'll get rid of the cycle of birth and death. And after that, in the next shloka, shloka number 52, he starts talking about, you'll become indifferent to the Vedic rituals. And in shloka number 53, he talks about, you will attain a divine consciousness of realizing being the servant of Krishna. The person will be in samadhi. And after hearing this word samadhi, Arjuna put forward four questions. Where he asks, Sita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhi stasya Keshava. Oh Keshava, what are the general symptoms of Sita pragya? A person whose consciousness is fixed? First question. Second, Stita dhi kim prabhasheta? How does he speak? Fourth question. Third question, kim asita? How does he sit? And here, Arjuna is talking about how does he control his senses? And rajeta kim? How does he walk? That is, how does he engage his senses? So like this, you know, he has asked four questions and Krishna starts answering. He answers the first question in shloka number 55. Then second question, that how does he speak? He answers in 56 and 57. And then from 58 onwards, six shlokas, 58 to 63, Krishna is talking about how does he control his senses. And here he gives the example of the tortoise. Hope you remember. Tortoise withdrawing the limbs inside the shell. And then from shloka number 64 onwards to 71, Krishna is talking about how does he engage his senses. And here we have elaborately discussed, in fact, in the previous section, I forgot to mention one important point. Param drishtva, in shloka number 59, a person who attains higher taste, he can give up the lower taste, he can give the lower things. And that person, this higher taste will come when we engage all our senses in service of the Lord. And we gave the example of Ambarish Maharaj, where he engaged all the limbs of the body in service of the Lord. And such a person who is controlling all his senses, what happens? In shloka number, towards the end, 71, he says, such a person will get real peace. And finally, the last shloka says, shloka number 72, if a person is living the way I have given here, the spiritual life or godly life, such a person will attain the ultimate destination, that is kingdom of God, Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavana. So in this way, Krishna concludes the second chapter. And I'm sure all of us have learned many, many things from the second chapter. I request you that please post your realizations in the comment section. And in that specifically mention, which shloka has helped you in what way? That will be very, very inspiring to the other participants. Now, from the next video onwards, let's start chapter number 3, which is titled as Karma Yoga. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.